It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me ting, I'm getting the power. It's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me ting, I'm getting the power. It's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair.
Let's freaking go! I believe LSU baseball just scored another run after they blew out Grambling yesterday. Big weekend series. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But for right now, we're going to talk about Brian Kelly's transfer portal window. But I actually wanted to start this live stream off with some appreciation towards JV and Toviano. All right, so the transfer portal window closes, and anyone, feel free to correct me. Obviously, portal news can trickle out really fast. Sometimes portal news can trickle out pretty slow. But what I can tell you is it does look like JV and Toviano is still on the team, okay? I had some serious concerns about this. Because, look, he was not recruited by the current defensive staff. He also got beat out during the spring. He got beat out by P.J. Woodland, and P.J. Woodland started running the ones opposite Ashton Stance at corner. I still believe in JV and Toviano. I still believe in a couple of other backup kind of guys that are still working their way up the depth chart, even though they were not first-team guys. Dylan Carpenter is also a year-two guy that I find to be very interesting. There's plenty. Okay, there are plenty of names that didn't actually hit the portal. If it is indeed true, once again, I am not the foremost expert on portal window news. I am just not in that realm, okay? Because you never really know. Grad transfers, I believe, have until midnight tonight to put in their name for the transfer portal. And I think you just have to put your name in. You could easily come back. I believe I read you just need to have a text to any compliance department member before midnight tonight that you plan to enter the transfer portal. And if there is a digital timestamp of you doing that, you could still enter. Okay. So for me, I am glad that we were able to trim some of the fat per se. But at the same time, I'm still worried because I might be totally wrong on this because I don't fully understand the portal window thing. I am very high still on JV and Toviano, though. I really am. I think he's more talented than some of the guys who are running with the ones right now. And that may not necessarily be at corner. So I'm very excited about his future. And I am very excited about plenty of LSU Tiger futures in that defensive room. Even though our defense still needs to fit the tackles, Dominic Williams is still the big story. We're still waiting on if he's going to commit to LSU. They took him to the supper club last night. You know, basically, as it is with any transfer portal defensive tackle, every single one of them knows that there is a supply shortage. So if there is a supply shortage, the price of your services always goes up, right? Look, you know, the world is always going to need welders, okay? That is a pretty bulletproof type of job. So because there's always a demand for people to weld stuff together, that is a smart business to get into. And a smart business to get into is also the defensive tackle business. There's not many 300-pound guys walking around this planet Earth that can also run a sub 5 flat or a sub 5.3 and have strength and ability to hold up against two guys blocking you at the same time. So, you know, I think Dominic Williams would be our best transfer portal addition up to this point, and he also would fill an absolute massive need. So we'll see what happens there. But overall, I would grade Brian Kelly's transfer portal window up to this point just based on the transfers that we have brought in. It's been a C plus. I'll give it a C plus. We need to start landing some bodies here pretty soon for our defense and for our team to hit the next level. Let's go to our first super chat of this glorious hump day live stream from Devin. How big will the new video board be in the north end zone? Hopefully big. You know, it was kind of difficult at the spring game because no one had a clock because there was no video board at the spring game. They're obviously rolling out a lot of new features for the 100-year celebration of Tiger Stadium. I know a lot of people wanted the strobe lights like they do at Alabama and Ole Miss and many other places. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But apparently it's going to be state-of-the-art, the way it was described to me. Now, I think what's interesting about LSU news today, and it's always tough to do a Wednesday live stream because our Tuesday live streams are always so long and entertaining. There's not always going to be a whole lot of news that breaks on a Wednesday. But obviously in the world of college football, there are two big stories. I got a phone call earlier today from an LSU booster. And I'll be honest, I know quite a few people in the TAF sphere, if you will, the Tiger Athletics Foundation. But, you know, I rarely get in like deep phone calls with them. And one called me earlier and was talking about the NIL and the changes that are coming to college sports. And I have been getting these calls from other national media members, text DMs about what's next for the sport. I do think you need to keep an eye out for these revenue sharing stories where players will have equity and actually get paid directly and it not even be NIL. And if that's the case, you know, if players are going to get a bigger piece of the pie, as always is the case in any business, when you have to pay your employees more, guess what? The suits don't want that to come out of their paycheck. So they're going to look for every possible avenue for their paychecks to remain constant. And one way you can do that is cutting sports. One way you can do that is cutting staff, cutting budgets, and so on and so on and so on. So, you know, just understand that there is still a lot of flux happening with the college football transfer portal and all of that. Now, next thing I want to get into as we welcome in Jordan, BT, really high on Dominic Williams, pick six, epic shorty. Can't wait for your big day. LA mom getting ready to go on a cruise. She'll be gone for 2 weeks. I'm not really happy about that because she's definitely one of our favorite PHLers. Serena Keen says, I think Carter could be a rotational piece on the defensive line. Tell Brian Kelly to call me. I have all 4 years of my eligibility left. I know every single defensive line technique you could possibly know because that was the only way I knew how to play. That was the only way I could play as a 190-pound defensive tackle. I weigh a little bit more now. It's not all muscle. But if they want a pass for a specialist, tell them I will happily – I'll do it anonymously. I'll show up and show that I will fight my ass off in the middle of that defensive line and make plays. It's still my dream. I'll give it my absolute best shot. I'll sign it for 12 hours. I'll do whatever it takes for the team. So, Brian Kelly, if you're watching, or Bo Davis or whoever else, I will go there and not waste your time and go kick some ass. I'm very freaking serious about that. I'll do whatever for LSU football. And if it takes me seeing if I got any juice left, I'll go for it. Okay. But I appreciate that. Likelihood, though, is I'm not good enough to play at the Division I Power 5 level. I'm definitely probably not good enough to play at the D3 level, but I promise you no one will play harder than me. I guarantee it. So there you go. I just need to eat like 5 Rotolo's calzones, and I could be up to weight very quickly. I guarantee I can run for a longer distance of time than most defensive tackles. I'll put it that way. But they're probably all faster and stronger and better than me. Now, I do want to talk about Deion. This has been the big story in college football. And I go back to what he did last year at Colorado. There has never, and I truly do mean this, there's rarely in my life been a coaching job that was more overrated than what Deion did last year. Yeah, they went 4-8. Yeah, they shocked TCU on the road. That was a chaotic game. That was a 50-50 game. Right? There were some very lucky breaks to go their way. Now, they deserve to win the game, and it was very exciting, and we got to see Travis Hunter for the first time, and that was great. The Colorado State victory was so lucky for anyone that actually watched that game. So unfreaking believably lucky. It was some of the worst coaching I've ever seen on both sidelines. And then they choked away a game versus Stanford, and I know what everyone's going to say. Well, Carter, They only won one game the year before. Okay, you know who else won one game the year before? Northwestern. And they went to a bowl game in a tougher conference. Okay? So, miss me with that. Miss me with that. I'm so sick of these pro-Deion arguments. I don't mind if you are defending Deion. All right? But what drives me crazy is Colorado fans, Deion defenders, you know, there's a Miami personality, and he was a hip-hop star, Luke Campbell or Luther Campbell, whoever it is. He's been defending Deion. I promise you, there has never been a take he has had in the world of college football that has been right or that I agreed with. I cannot believe it. Every single college football media member, you know, I'll agree with some of their takes, right? There has never been a take I agreed with from him, ever. He could say water is wet. I won't believe him. And he's defended. It's all these, well, Deion's being attacked by the media, and Deion is being attacked for being real, and we got a soft society. What? The media has never... They never mentioned how bad of a coach he was between the headsets last year, how bad he was at adjusting. There was two games in a row they could not stop a shallow drag. There's two games in a row couldn't get out of the shallow drag. But all of that aside, he won Sportsman of the Year with Sports Illustrated by going 4-8. College Game Day went to their campus. What is this that the media hates Deion Sanders? He is a millionaire a gazillion times over. His son is going to be a quote-unquote top 5 pick. No one hates Deion Sanders. Everyone in the college football media loves Deion Sanders, including me. It generates clicks. He's brought up a lot of good things. I have agreed with him publicly admitting that he's cutting kids. Other coaches don't have the backbone to do it. But you can't come out and then crap on those kids. You're punching down. You can't do that on social media without repercussions. I mean, you could do it. It's free country. Go for it. It's a bad look. You have no offensive line. You went 4-8. All right? It's a bad look. And it's an even worse look that your son is saying, I own, whatever. Calling kids mid and Deion Sanders Jr. saying that they're being attacked? Folks, you can't be attacked when you are the one doing the attacking. There's no reason to call out players that you processed or cut. And then you have Colorado people saying, well, you didn't interview the players, because it's all stemmed from The Athletic doing a piece on the players that Deion initially cut, which is good journalism. And then you have all these Colorado fans saying, well, you didn't interview the players that actually played on the team last year. Well, no, duh, they have media coverage. The point of journalism is giving voice to the voiceless. I'll tell you this. I wish, and I'm not a journalist, but I'm open. I would love to interview and talk with LSU players that moved on to a new school. Why didn't it work out? I always find that to be fascinating. The point of journalism is giving voice to the voiceless. And after you get cut or you get processed, rarely does any media member follow up with the player. Okay, there are, I'm telling you, thousands of athletes that have moved on, and we've never really understood what happened. Sure, there are public instances where we know why you left and we know why it didn't work out. But really, do we know specifically what actually happened? And Max Olson, the reporter, put in a lot of work. It was a good piece on The Athletic, and I give him a lot of credit. He did a really, really, really good job. And shout out to The Athletic. One of my buddies I used to hang out with in Hodges Hall. His name is Chris Branch. He is an excellent writer. I read the Athletic newsletter pretty often. They hit like 3 million subs or something like that. I saw it on Chris's Instagram story. So public shout out to him. I don't know if he's watching right now, but Branch has always been one of the most talented writers when I was at LSU. Obviously a little biased because he's a friend, but still Athletic. It's just really good journalism. And what's funny about it is I have absolutely flamed some writers on The Athletic on this channel, including one who voted Jalen Milroe for Heisman over Jaden Daniels. I will never forget that. I'll never forget that. That is seared in my brain. Seared. But that's not here nor there. Now, $20 super chat, get you an autographed LSU photo. This is actually going out to James, who is indeed someone who lives in Ruston, Louisiana. I'm mailing this out. Well, he lives in Houston. He's from Ruston. So this is going to James. I'm a bro autographed photo. I'll give out a DJ Chark autograph card, $20. No, Pegasus, I want to hear from any transfers, because this is why. Why I can ask a voice to only Colorado transfers. The reason why the Colorado transfers themselves were picked out by Max Olson of The Athletic is because Deion was so public about the cutting, all right? This is what I said when Deion was hired. You can go back and listen to all the live streams. The best thing that he has done as a coach is being very public about when he cuts a kid, all right? Because a lot of people who aren't familiar with college football or are fans of college football, but they're kind of just vague college football fans, they did not know that that happened. They just didn't. And the fact that that did happen, that let people know, hey, this is kind of a professional environment here. And it's been like that for forever. And Deion just publicly did it. He just came out and said, we're cutting kids, essentially. And he did it publicly in his first meeting with the team when he said, hey, there's a lot of you sitting writing in this room right now that ain't going to be here. And I appreciated the hell out of it. What I have issue with is you trashing the kid after the fact. Okay. So let's see here. Yeah, tell Ryan Yates. I didn't know Ryan. Tell him I'd love to talk to him. Why it didn't work out. I doubt he would really have anything bad to say about LSU, but if he wants to come on, he can come on. But I am always interested in those stories, right? That is, and I am not a journalist. I have a journalism degree. I do not claim to be a journalist, all right? But, you know, those stories are oftentimes very fascinating. What do I have to do? Grow the beard? Honestly, my beard itches so much. It would take a $500 super chat. Or us getting $500 in super chats during a live stream. Which actually used to be a regular occurrence. But yeah, I'd do it for that. My beard itches. I got really coarse beard hair. So there you go. But yeah, I mean, a lot of my love for the Colorado football program, I even got some of the Prime sunglasses. I think they look cool as hell. I don't know if I'm going to give those up. I have faded quite a bit on Colorado. And I have ignored the bad coaching. I have ignored the bad recruiting. But the one thing I don't think that this is, and there is a lot of this in society, all right? I don't think this is racism. You know, some people have tried to make this a racism thing when it's not. This is just a right and wrong thing. You do not. You do not just throw that word around just for the sake of it. Like, Deion is the most popular person in college football. Like, it's not even a debate. Especially now that Saban has moved on. So, you know, I've seen a lot of that today. But it's a big story. It's not going anywhere. I just don't know, though, if I'm an NFL team and I see a quarterback calling a kid mid on Twitter, if that's really something I want. Is that something Jaden Daniels would do? Never. You'll never see Jaden do that. I don't think you'll ever see Jaden say a bad word about anybody, honestly. You know, great leaders just don't do that. If a wide receiver does it, nobody cares. Quarterback, you're the leader of the team. You're the galvanizer. You're the force that brings people together. Okay? Now, as always, for the first 20 minutes, I have my topics that I want to get into. Now it's your turn. Any topic that you guys want to talk about in the world of college football, in the world of LSU football, in the world of LSU sports, I will happily discuss. Let's go to Mad Hatter. Welcome to the channel. You can get away with a lot more if you're winning. When you're losing, you're just being loud. Exactly. Exactly. Next thing. What are we going? What was the? Just drew a blank. But what I wanted to get into next. I normally have like a timeline written down. I didn't write it down today. Oh, LSU baseball. Okay. All right, so LSU baseball, obviously this year it's just going to come down to making the postseason. I think a lot of you are to the point where you're like, okay, let's just worry about qualifying for the SEC tournament at this point. So for me, when it comes to LSU baseball, I mean, this board is so random, but it's pretty clear at this point that we have a large enough sample that this team just isn't that great. And they have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series here coming up against Texas A&M. They are the number one team in the country. This is the second time LSU has played the number one team in the country. They played Arkansas earlier this year when they were number one. They've also played Florida, a top 10 team. Tennessee's a top 10 team. You got a 7 p.m., 6:30, and 1 p.m. Central series. Obviously, one of the big keys for this weekend is just not getting swept. Can you avoid getting swept? Getting one win obviously helps you out quite a bit. Schedule isn't too harsh after A&M. Got a midweek game coming up as well next week. I believe that's against Northwestern. I took the schedule off a little too quickly. You know, the Auburn series, you won that series barely. You know, it took a walk-off in game two. The bats on this team just have been wildly inconsistent, but hopefully the Grambling game, those hot bats continue going into next weekend. Of course, it's not the same level of competition, but it is one of those things where it still could carry over. You know, you're seeing the ball. It's bigger than it normally is. Pause. You can just absolutely smash it. So, calling it now, Ashton Larson hits for the cycle in a game this weekend, and LSU baseball pulls off the upset and takes 2 of 3 from Texas A&M. They lose on Friday, but they win Saturday and Sunday. I'm calling it now. You know, we talked about Haley Bryan yesterday. We've not really talked a whole lot about Angel Reese in the Chicago Sky. Yeah, I'm going to be watching a decent amount of WNBA, especially Chicago Sky, because I'm a big Angel fan. But, you know, outside of that, there's really just not a whole lot going on outside of LSU basketball, picking up a very nice player. And look, let me pull him up. I saw the alert earlier, and this is via Matthew Brune. They bring in a young man who actually beat them last year from Richmond, the Richmond Spiders. They pick up DJ Bailey or Digi Bailey. Last year with the Spiders, Bailey shot over 60% from two and had 1.7 steals per game. Now, I saw this flash on the screen, and I'll be honest, when you don't see the scoring in the little blip, you get a little concerned. Last year, he averaged 10 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, 2 assists per game, 59% from the field, and he's coming in as a year 5 player. So more than likely, not really a high-impact player. But it's something. It's something. Shout out to Louisiana Voodoo. Fan of the channel, Andre Sale, continues his successful Arena League career. So, shout out to Sale. Now, I found something to be very interesting. And I think a lot of you would find this fascinating as well. Go download my new podcast, Believe in Saints. I have already released this episode on the draft. And there is no team that has taken more criticism from their drafts than the Saints. You know, they. I read this very interesting study from a German NFL writer that showed that the media tends to grade the Saints drafts lower than all the other drafts. And what I saw was the Saints this year. This was the first time since Rene Bugner is the German writer who studied this. This year was the first time the media thought the Saints had a top 20 NFL draft. If you just go by the media's draft grades and you compile them all together, this was the first time. Okay. That we have seen the Saints go inside the top 15. I think a lot of you would find that hilarious because they rarely take LSU players. Last one they took was Will Clapp. So I know what you're saying. Hey, draft more LSU guys, your draft grades will go up. But the truth is, I actually went today on Believe in Saints. You'll find the link down below. The media has been correct. A lot of the Saints drafts since 2017 have been pure dookie water. But I liked this one. Didn't love this one, but I liked this year's draft. Okay. So there you go. Now, I'll be honest. I am of the belief that the Saints' best NFL draft pick will be Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I understand he's an Alabama guy. I think Kool-Aid's going to be a really good pro. I really do think so. All right. And there's John right on cue. I don't know if John just randomly said Roll Tide right when I said Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I don't know why an Alabama fan would just be watching me randomly, but welcome to the channel, John. It's amazing. You say anything positive about Alabama, you're going to get a Roll Tide. King Life, bro, watching on Twitter. He says, Toviano needs to play safety. I agree with you. Safety or nickel? I saw Raymond was going after a cornerback transfer from Wake. How many DBs are we going to have? So the corner from Wake, his name is Deshaun Jones. Or is it Deshaun James? Either way. Cornerback has been a tough position when it comes to transfers. Obviously, year one of the Brian Kelly era, transfers are really good. Year two of the Brian Kelly era in the secondary, transfers not too good. It's tough for me to really get excited about any transfer portal defender, especially after what happened last year. And what's very interesting is there are actually a lot of transfer portal players that are going into year two of their journey with LSU. So you have Paris Shand, who was inconsistent. He's coming up to year two. You have Braden Swinson, who was more good than bad. Definitely better than Paris Shand, but he was also someone that was a little inconsistent at times last year. So you're hoping some of these transfer portal guys that get this extra year here with LSU takes a massive, massive leap forward. And the guy that I would bring up is someone who multiple people I've spoken to in the LSU building like a lot is J.K. Johnson. Is that something? The issue, though, comes down to how many of these guys can actually play? You know, you have Jair Brown coming over. There are so many of these portal defensive backs, Austin Osberry being one of them, that are here and they've not played at their first stop. And that's always an issue. Well, take a look at the poll question. Chance, what is your favorite non-football LSU sport? Baseball currently winning at 46%. Basketball at 43%. Gymnastics at 4% and 7% at other. I know Sherry Berry clicked LSU softball. Good to see you. The wonderful, awesome Sherry Berry. What's up, Epic Shorter? What's up, Pierce? Good to see you. Jordan, thank you for the super. Any topic you want to get to, go right on ahead. Okay. Jordan asked me my thoughts on the series between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. So a lot of you know I love the NBA. I don't love it now because my Pelicans just got swept and we did not score 95 points in any game. And we need to make sweeping changes. We need to make trades, and I believe we need a new coach. All of that aside, let's talk about this series. Can the Timberwolves pull it off against Denver? I'm going to go with no. I think Denver wins this series in six games. The first thing I'll say about Minnesota, and I know I have made this comment so many times, the worst thing, you can do, and I mean the worst thing you can do, when it comes to any young athlete, is compare them to Michael Jordan. This is the worst thing you can do. But I will tell you, he will not be as good as Michael Jordan because it's virtually impossible for him to be as good as Michael Jordan. But Anthony Edwards reminds me so much of Michael Jordan. Like their mannerisms, their size, the way they defend, the way they attack the rim, their unapologetic authenticity away from the court. Their body type, I mean, everything. He kind of looks like him. It's not apple to apple, but like he looks like a silhouette of MJ at times, right? And it's fun to watch. And we know Jordan played his best ball in the postseason. Anthony Edwards is truly breathtaking. You have Cat, you have Gobert, you have Mike Conley. So you have a lot of very experienced players to surround him with. McDaniels, I still think Denver is going to smoke him on six games. But I'm really excited for this, and I will tell you this. The first round, and this is what really pisses me off about the Pelicans, is almost every one of these opening round series have been compelling. Like they have been unfreaking believably exciting, except the Pelicans. We're the only team that just played practically no exciting games outside of game one, which was really good. We just got our asses handed to us, and we never scored 95. I don't care losing. Then I understand. Here come the Zion excuses. Oh, God. Jared says Pelicans. Whatever the case may be, we sucked. And we didn't help anything as far as like the general viewer. So that pisses me off because all these other series have been good. The Clippers-Maverick series might go down as the best 4-5 in terms of shot making. The Philadelphia-New York Knicks series is absolutely insane. There are so many different storylines with that. The Tyrese Maxey three, the collapse by Philly in game two, the Knicks having their rich folk buy tickets so that or the Philly fans are having to buy all the tickets, and the Philly owners like Michael Rubin and them, they're buying all the tickets so Knicks fans don't buy them, and they're giving them to Philly first responders. The series is incredible. And side note, if you're an Andrew Schultz comedy fan, I know you are, Jordan, if they do not pull it off, they have to cancel the Andrew Schultz comedy tour at Madison Square Garden this weekend. So the Sixers are going to need to, or the Knicks are going to need to win, or else that comedian's dream gets canceled. Because he's always wanted to do MSG. It's always been a thing. So it's there's so many different crazy storylines with that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. Oh boy. And then you have Orlando versus the Cavs. That's also been a good series. So yeah, it's a lot of good basketball, man. I'm definitely going to be watching this Mavericks game tonight, and I'm cheering for the Mavericks to win it all because I do have a friend on that team, and I think they're going to win the series, especially if Kawhi's not there. Now, we get a super chat from Jared, and all it says it's football. So we're going to go directly into football. All right, Jared. I will pick a random football topic because you just sent me football. Am I bro going to DT? Position you played in high school? He told me going in, he was strictly going to play strong side end. But he also said he'd be willing to bulk up and do whatever for the team. One final thing on the Pelicans. One of the best things to happen to them were the Lakers getting knocked out. Because no one's talking about the disaster that was the Pelicans in the playoffs. Everyone's focused in on the Lakers. Luka Doncic, though, it's a good point sent in by Amanda. Luka Doncic is sick. Also, our dear beloved dog Z Baby turned 3 today. So there you go. Now, Jaren wants to talk to him, tackle football. I believe for me, one of the more underrated storylines for LSU football going into next year is the punter situation. Okay. I don't know who's going to punt next year for LSU. You know, I think Burrell is like kind of a long shot, even though he's coming in to kick. But the punter situation with Peyton Todd is in kind of a tough spot. You know, we got a great deep snapper. You know, we got a pretty good kicker in Ramos, but punting is going to be a bigger part of who we are because our offense is just not going to be as prolific as it was last year. So we're going to need good field position flippage, especially if we're going to play in some more slobber knockers and lower scoring games. So kind of sort of a smaller story. Obviously not the most important thing we need to fix, but it is a thing. And it is kind of one of these onesie positions where, you know, you just got to find one. And they normally don't get hurt. Normally they remain healthy. Cole said, does Brad Wing have any eligibility left? He's currently in the UFL throwing touchdowns. Yes, that's right. He threw a TD. Now, this is a Wednesday, 1 hour edition. So, in the next 5 to 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many of your questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll go longer than an hour. And we'll go straight into whatever topic you want to get into today. Now, I have talked about this some, and I'll bring it up again. The Cincinnati Bengals had a really good draft. Really, really, really good draft. And it would not shock me if Jermaine Burton ends up having a pretty big year with Joe Burrow. It would not shock me at all. That is a really good situation that he's walking into. Tyler Boyd is already visiting other teams. And I love the Amarius Mims pick. I really, really, really do. Brad Wing is the only specialist I've seen leave college early. Partially true. Tracy could have come back another year if he chose to do so. But, yeah, Brad Wing was that guy. He was that guy, pal. LSU, long history of really good punters. Donnie Jones was a freaking beast. Who can forget Jamie Keen? That's a deep cut. Chance says, LSU's going to have to go Don Corleone and make offers DTs can't refuse. Always love the good Godfather reference. Take this offer or you're going to join Luca Brasi. You can sleep with the fishies. Love it. Absolutely love it. I will take a few more here. Once again, I got a birthday party to attend for my dog. I didn't even know that was a thing before I became a dog owner. I didn't even know dogs have birthday parties. But it's something I got to do. And Haley said, you have got to be off the live stream with Simon for these birthday. And I said, okay. Whatever you say. Happy wife, happy life. But the thing I don't get is that the dog doesn't know that we're doing a birthday. We're doing the whole kip and caboodle. And we've already done the cupcake thing. Where we already sang happy birthday and stuff, but apparently we got a birthday dinner. Which I mean, birthday dinner for it all. It's all good, Lance. You're right on time, baby. No, it's a thing. Yeah, or I guess we started a thing. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you do birthday parties for your dog. Or you at least acknowledge your dog's birthday. Type Y for yes, type N for no.
Jared says, we barely acknowledge our kid's birthday. MM says yes. Lance says yes. All right. So I'll address this. Okay. Some people have said that the Dominic Williams video was cringy. LSU needs someone to step up their riz. Okay, first off, I don't think you know what riz means, Chris, because that's not what rizzing up means. Okay, swag qualifies. But not Riz. And I'll say Riz in this situation. Okay. First off, you're trying to appease any young player. Any attention you give a player that young, Williams, he's probably like 20 or 21, transfer, whatever, they're going to like. Even if it's a cringy Brian Kelly dance video, they're going to be in it because, well, you're paying for everything. You're covering all their expenses. I'm sure there are plenty of times you have gone into a party where you really didn't want to go, but it didn't cost you none. You're going to get the drink for free, get to eat for free. And Williams, as a defensive tackle, is getting ready to eat a good meal. Was the presentation the absolute best at the supper club? Probably not, but they also probably do that for a lot of their clients. In fact, I know that they do. It just went viral because it's on a recruiting trip, and Blake Baker was in it, and Bo Davis was in it, and so on and so on. But there's only so much you can do, right? Like, what did you want them to do? You wanted them to bring a bottle of Ace of Spades out? You wanted, you know, some scantily clad women coming in there with everyone throwing dollar bills up in the air? No. There's only so much you can do. Right? So, yeah, it didn't look the best. It's not like the absolute swaggiest LSU video you'll ever see. But I think it was cool. I think it was cool, you know, because the kid liked it. Yeah, it's a Ricky Pitino 15-second party. Odell coming and making it rain. You'll never hear me say Riz in that context. Now, I had something pretty cool happen. I was going to do it tomorrow. But I'll go ahead and do it tonight. I might wait till tomorrow to actually do it. But I know we got a bunch of PHLers in Dallas. And thanks to some connections, you know, it's fun getting to do this. You meet really cool people. We may or may not be giving out some tickets for an A-list artist that's performing a show pretty soon in Dallas, in the premier venue in Dallas, Texas. So we are going to do a pretty big giveaway. Okay. So there you go. Skinny Chesney. Skinny Chesney and Zach Brown Band. So I'll try and figure out how to give those tickets out. I don't know. I don't know if I would necessarily consider myself like the, like Kenny Chesney being my core demographic, but there is someone, his username is 2 or 3 is not good as 1. Like one of these random YouTube usernames. And he or she jumps into the chat every now and then, and they always drop a $9.99 super chat, and it's always about something with Kenny Chesney, because I shared some Kenny Chesney question or story many years ago, back when I worked in country music. But we'll be giving out a Kenny Chesney tickets. I think it's pretty cool that them and Zach Brown Band, right? They're not, you wouldn't necessarily consider them like A-list country guys now, but 10 years ago, yeah, I mean, they were so huge. They're still so huge now. They're just not newer, like Lainey Wilson or someone like that. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good show. I've seen Kenny before in Tiger Stadium. Hopefully Riley Cooper doesn't show up. He comes in right at the end, baby. The Mister! Blaster. He's here.
What's up, team? What's up, team?
So I'll figure out how to get those tickets out tomorrow. Well, Penn, tune in tomorrow. Okay, I'll try and figure out the best way to give him out. Okay. Just kind of just sprung up. Penn, are you a Kenny Chesney guy? A Boys of Fall fan? Let me know, Penn. And follow me on social media at Power Hour LSU. Because if you don't win these, I'll send you something. It might not be Kenny Chesney tickets. It might be something else. I don't know. Because you have Super Chat. I want to hook you up, man. Are you Zach Brown? Dang, huh? Because you just missed the chatter on that. Well, all right, y'all. I am out. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Shout out to Jared. Shout out to Devin. Shout out to Jordan with the Supers. Let's go. Let's go.